This is Audiophile Magazine, providing news and reviews of recent releases of audiobooks. I'm Sandy Henschel. Hello, and welcome to today's reading of selections from the August-September issue of Audiophile Magazine. On today's program, we have a question and answer session with author James Patterson and a narrator, Eduardo Ballerini. We'll follow that with reviews in mystery and suspense, including reviews of The Fix, Amos Decker Book 3 by David Baldacci, read by Keith Brewer and Orla Cassidy, and Kill the Father by Sandrone Dazzieri, read by Cassandra Campbell, both Earphones winners. Let's get right to it. Here's the James Patterson interview. At this year's Book Expo America conference, we had a chance to sit down with author James Patterson and narrator Eduardo Ballerini and talk about audiobooks. This is an excerpt of our conversation. The full interview will be available as a podcast on our blog at www.audiophilemagazine.com/blog. Audiophile asked, "When did you first get interested in audiobooks?" James Patterson: "You know what? For me, when I moved out of New York City and started driving my car all the time, that's when I became addicted to audiobooks. And I do not get in my car without putting an audiobook in now. Right now, it's Astrophysics for People in a Hurry, which I don't understand a word of, but I'm listening anyway." And that's the value of a good narrator. Even if you don't know what you're listening to, you keep going. Audiophile: "And what about you, Eduardo?" "I came to audiobooks after many years in film and television, which I still do, when somebody approached me to do a recording of Machiavelli's The Prince because I speak Italian, and I said sure. And then from there, it just sort of took off. And now I find myself also listening, especially at night when I'm too tired to hold a book and actually read it. I can lie back in bed and dim the lights and listen to something." Audiophile: "And Jim, what about the first time you heard one of your own books? Do you remember which one it was?" Patterson: "I don't remember what I had for breakfast. No, I don't remember which one. I listened to Black Book, and I thought it was terrific because I love the book. A lot of them I don't listen to on audio. I mean, I've already been through them 10 times at that stage. One of the things about listening to them, though, is you do get a good feel for what in your dialogue stinks. You really do. You go, you know what? That just is bad. That's bad. So what I want to do from now on is with the manuscript, I want you," he's speaking to Eduardo, "have it to me, and then I'll know what to fix." Eduardo: "We'll drive around. It'll be like you have a live audiobook happening in your car." Patterson: "Yeah, that's right. Yeah, perfect." Audiophile: "And what about you, Eduardo? Do you remember the first time James Patterson audiobook you do you remember the first James Patterson audiobook you narrated?" Ballerini: "It must have been the NYPD Red series, which we've done, I believe, 4 of now." "Wait a minute, we've only done 3. Ballerini: "Oh, okay." Patterson: "You've done one I haven't even written yet?" "Yeah, there are 4. There are 4. Ballerini: "I secretly wrote a 4th one." Patterson: "Excellent." Ballerini: "Because I felt I knew the characters so well at this point." Patterson: "Yeah, probably." Audiophile: "Pacing is so important in your books, in the way you write, but also in the way you narrate. How do you set a tone, first as a writer, because you have a sense of where you want to leave people at the end of each chapter, but then as the narrator following that?" Patterson: "Well, Michael Connelly, best-selling mystery writer, said, what Jim does is every single chapter moves both the characterization and the plot forward and turns on the movie projector in our heads. And whether I succeed or don't succeed, I'm always trying to do that. I want people to see the scene. I want them to feel that they are there. I think audiobooks can be quintuple what they are now in terms of popularity, and I think the productions could be a lot richer. So, one of the things we might try to do with the book, with President Clinton's The President Is Dead, due to release in June 2018, is really go for the kind of production that I don't think anybody's done yet in an audiobook. Ballerini. I agree. I've often said, and I know it can be cost prohibitive unless you have bestsellers such as yours, but to have sound effects, to have all this kind of richness behind it, to make the production bigger, would make the whole thing better. But I did want to say something about pacing to your question, and also, I guess, to what Michael Connelly said about the visual nature of your books, which I find to be very true. I often feel like I'm working on a movie, watching a movie, when I'm reading these books. Everything comes so alive, and I can really see the clothes and the buildings and the cars. The pacing is so dictated by the writer that I feel like it's there waiting for me to follow. If you have a lot of staccato short sentences, that's going to suggest something. If you have these long sort of flowing sentences, that's going to tell you what the author wants in terms of pace. I've always believed that the narrator is in the service to the author, that it's my job to present the book as the author intended. And so I look for these clues. I look for the kind of sentence structure, I look for the kind of characterization, and I try to follow that. Patterson, would you mind going out to Hollywood and explaining that to all of those script writers, to show writers, the actors? Ballerini, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get in a car. We're going to drive. I'm going to read your next few books aloud so you can hear them. On the way to L.A., yes, Patterson says. Ballerini, and we're going to get to Hollywood. We're going to set up some meetings, and we're finally going to make something happen out there. That concludes the reading of the interview with James Patterson and Eduardo Ballerini, and here's a review of Patterson's latest, The Black Book, by James Patterson with David Ellis, read by Eduardo Ballerini. Narrator Eduardo Ballerini takes listeners through a twisty thriller set in Chicago and steeped in city and police politics. Family solidarity seems to be the only thing Billy Harney can depend on when the deck is seriously stacked against him. The young detective is embroiled in corruption and multiple murder charges with little but an amnesia defense. Ballerini has a subtle take on the Chicago accents, yet shines with the banter between the cops, getting the pace and sarcasm just right. His greatest contribution is keeping the emotional pitch high. It propels listeners through the changes in time sequence and keeps the tension ratcheted up. Patterson and Ballerini make a great pair for good listening. Robin F. Witten wrote that review of The Black Book by James Patterson with David Ellis, read by Eduardo Ballerini. It's available from Hachette Audio for 10.25 hours, unabridged, and the magazine does carry a QR code. Okay, now we will turn our attention to our reviews in Mystery and Suspense, and our first review is an Earphones winner, and as you know, Audiophile awards earphones to truly exceptional presentations that excel in all the following criteria: narrative voice and style, vocal characterizations, appropriateness for the audio format, and enhancement of the text. In the print version of the magazine, many of our reviews display a QR code, which when you scan it with your smartphone, will play a sound sample of the book. I'll let you know when a review has a QR code. And if you don't have a smartphone, you can still hear samples of most of our titles at www.audiophilemagazine.com. Our first Mystery and Suspense review today is Five Pieces of Jade, Virgil Tibbs, Book 4 by John Ball. It's read by Dion Graham, and it's an Earphones winner. the fourth in the Virgil Tibbs Mysteries, first published nearly 50 years ago and now recorded as a complete series, gains unexpected new life in Dion Graham's narration. The plot's working parts include the black homicide detective's discussions with a young woman of mixed Japanese and African American descent who speaks minimal English, a variety of Chinese, Chinese American, and Japanese American characters, and a couple of white men as well. Graham injects the faintest touch of irony to the antiquated dialogue and creates voices that demonstrate varying levels of comfort speaking English, while at the same time maintaining respect for both characters and author. In sum, he ensures that this audiobook resonates both as valuable cultural history and fascinating contemporary listening. Francesca Goldsmith wrote that review of Five Pieces of Jade, Virgil Tibbs, Book 4 by John Ball, and Earphones winner read by Dion Graham. It's available from Brilliance Audio for 6 hours of unabridged listening. And this is just a quick reminder that you are listening to the August-September issue of Audiophile magazine. It's the magazine that helps you to discover the world of audiobooks. Our next review in Mystery and Suspense is Kill the Father by Sandrone Dazzieri. It's read by Cassandra Campbell, and it's an Earphones winner. This is a textbook thriller. Police work against the clock to halt an increasing series of violent crimes. The opening, featuring a boy named Dante who is imprisoned in a silo, is unlike any other you've heard. Cassandra Campbell narrates this eerie story of a criminal known as the Father, who returns decades later to haunt Dante and others. Campbell shows her dexterity as a narrator as she shifts between male and female characters without missing a beat. She deftly reads Italian words, names, and phrases, which lend authenticity to the overall experience. Those who enjoy listening while doing other tasks may find that this intense story demands their full attention. Mohana Rajakumar wrote that review of Kill the Father. It's written by Sandrone Dazzieri, and it's read by Cassandra Campbell, an Earphones winner. It's available from Simon & Schuster Audio for 18.5 hours, unabridged. Next in Mystery and Suspense, we have Ghosts of Tsavo, and that's spelled T-S-A-V-O. It's written by Vered Ehsani, read by Allison Larkin. A novel rich in imagination, detail, and surprises requires a narrator who can embrace every element of the story, and Allison Larkin is that narrator. She is spot on in her portrayal of Beatrice Knight, a member of the Society for Paranormals, and her spectacular ghost hunting adventures in colonial Nigeria with her dead husband in tow. Though it may take a moment for listeners to acclimate to Larkin's thoroughly posh tones and Bee's dry humor and quick wit, soon shine through, making listeners feel as if they're chatting with an old friend. Her accents are consistent, and her sympathetic portrayal of each member of the diverse and zany cast rounds out a stellar series opening. Bridget E. Kewen wrote that review of Ghosts of Tsavo. It's written by Vered Ehsani, and it's read by Allison Larkin. It's available from listentoabook.com for 6.5 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have The Fix, Amos Decker, Book 3 by David Baldacci. It's an Earphones winner, read by Keith Brewer and Orla Cassidy. This fast-moving mystery is a wonderful vehicle for narrators Keith Brewer and Orla Cassidy. Brewer portrays FBI agent Amos Decker's quirky personality and investigative abilities with aplomb. Cassidy provides wonderful, unique personalities for defense intelligence agent Harper Brown and Decker's roommate and colleague Alex Jameson, as well as various other female characters. Decker witnesses a man shoot a woman outside FBI headquarters and then kill himself. Several characters, including the killer and the victim, are not who they seem to be, which Decker and Jameson soon discover. Well-developed characters and realistic dialogue help listeners follow the story, and the well-paced, adept vocal performances add to the intrigue. Susan C. Awe wrote that review of The Fix, Amos Decker, Book 3, written by David Baldacci. It's an Earphones winner, read by Keith Brewer and Orla Cassidy. It's available from Hachette Audio for 12 hours unabridged, and the magazine does carry a QR code. Our next review is The Lost Order, Cotton Malone, Book 12 by Steve Barry. It's an Earphones winner, read by Scott Brick with Steve Barry. Narrator Scott Brick's smooth voice flows with the twists and turns of Barry's political thriller as former Justice Department operator Cotton Malone uncovers a Civil War secret society. Stolen gold and a constitutional crisis in the making. The action moves across North America from the Smithsonian Institution to Arkansas, from the Sangre de Cristo Mountains to the wilds of Tennessee. The production consists of two performances, the usual straightforward delivery and a writer's cut, which is interspersed with the author's comments about people, places, and events related to the novel. Secrets unravel and tensions rise as Brick shifts vocal focus from the historical secret society to contemporary conspirators who include corrupt politicians and judges. Miriam B. Kahn wrote that review of The Lost Order, Cotton Malone, Book 12 by Steve Barry. It's read by Scott Brick with Steve Barry, and it's an Earphones winner. It's available from Macmillan Audio for 16.5 hours unabridged, and the magazine does carry a QR code. Our next review in Mystery and Suspense is Since We Fell by Dennis Lehane, read by Julia Whalen. If you listen to audiobooks in the car, prepare to find yourself sitting in the driveway with this one. Julia Whalen does a near flawless job delivering this palpitation-inducing psychological thriller from the great Dennis Lehane. She's good at accents, switching ages and genders, and her pacing is impeccable. Rachel Childs, the only child of a beautiful, very smart, very damaged mother, is looking for her father, whose identity she never knew. Always a great setup, but Lehane is using it as a springboard to explain how Rachel falls into a totally different swamp of deceptions. Whalen struggles with pronouncing Athenaeum, and someone demurred at one point instead of demurring, or this performance would be bases loaded home run. Maybe it is anyway. Beth Gutchen wrote that review of Since We Fell by Dennis Lehane, read by Julia Whalen. It's available from Harper Audio for 12 hours unabridged. Our next review is Earthly Remains by Donna Leon, read by David Colacci. David Colacci is the perfect narrator for Leon's newest Venetian murder mystery. Listeners will lose themselves in Colacci's deep and emotionally packed portrayal of Commissario Brunetti of the Carabinieri as he fits together this disjointed clues scattered about the Lido to solve another puzzle of means, motive, and opportunity. Brunetti must interview a broad range of characters, and Colacci exquisitely captures each suspect's bitterness, sorrow, joy, or regret. Occasionally, Leon allows Brunetti a break from his relentless investigation and treats listeners to a humorous exchange between the commissario and his brilliant wife, Paola. So step into the gondola and glide along the romantic Venetian canals as Colacci delivers another extraordinary adventure with Commissario Brunetti. Elaine Barry wrote that review of Earthly Remains by Donna Leon. It's read by David Colacci, and it's available from Recorded Books, Inc. for 10.5 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review in Mystery and Suspense is The Far Empty. It's by J. Todd Scott, read by T. Ryder Smith, and it's an Earphones winner. Part crime story and part contemporary Western, The Far Empty blows the West Texas dust off a town's skeletons, literally, causing a deputy sheriff to take on the powers that be. The confident style, masterful descriptions, and sturdy plot structure resonate as the work of a seasoned author, which is why it's hard to believe that this is J. Todd Scott's debut novel. It's also hard to believe that narrator T. Ryder Smith is a New York native. His natural-sounding West Texas voicings include the border town accent of the cruel sheriff and the calm, strong-willed tones of a Mexican high school student. Let's hope the team of Scott and Ryder stays in the saddle for future audiobooks. Like Cornbread and Molasses, they're meant to be together. Richard W. Stimm wrote that review of The Far Empty. It's by J. Todd Scott, an Earphones winner read by T. Ryder Smith. It's available from Recorded Books for 11 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review is The Good Daughter by Karen Slaughter, an Earphones winner read by Kathleen Early. Kathleen Early brings life to Slaughter's compelling story of past and present violence and its impact on sisters Charlie and Sam. Using pitch, tone, and pace, Early contrasts the personalities of the two sisters as teenagers and then, 28 years later, as adults. She excels at projecting the larger-than-life character of their father, Rusty. The way Early enacts the dramatic stories makes listeners feel the complex pain and confusion brought on by acts of revenge and love. She selectively uses regional accents to enliven an array of secondary characters. Listeners will be totally engaged with this account of a family and challenged to consider that there are many sides to a story. Ellen Quint wrote that review of The Good Daughter by Karen Slaughter. It's read by Kathleen Early. It's an Earphones winner. And it's available from Blackstone Audio for 13.5 hours unabridged, and the magazine does carry a QR code. Our next review is Into the Water by Paula Hawkins, read by Laura Aikman, and a talented cast of narrators. The river has claimed many lives over the years, and in the span of less than 1 year, two more women have been claimed. One woman had been researching the river and its victims. The other was a teenager who had no known motive to kill herself. Five narrators tell the story from the points of view of more than 15 characters. Each character's voice is unique, but the multitude of changing perspectives can be difficult to follow at times. Paula Hawkins' second novel, like her first, The Girl on the Train, creates a world in which the listener isn't sure which narrator to trust. Though not quite as strong as her debut, this new audiobook weaves a curious mystery that listeners will find intriguing. Andrew G. McKinley wrote that review of Into the Water by Paula Hawkins. It's read by five narrators, and it's available from Penguin Audio for 11.5 hours. Unabridged. Our next review is One Perfect Lie. It's written by Lisa Scottolini, and it's read by George Newbern. Scottolini is at her best with this thriller about ATF agent Kurt Abbott, and George Newbern is the guide to convince listeners of one thing when quite another is actually going on. Newly hired school teacher of government studies, Chris Brennan has the perfect credentials. His references are beyond reproach, and if needed, he can even coach basketball. What could be better? Newbern sets the scene so deftly that when the truth is revealed, listeners will discover that they've been completely taken in. Abbott's ATF investigation is focused on a possible domestic terrorism plot and on three boys: Evan Costas, a kid with every advantage; Raz Sematov, who was troubled by his father's recent death; and Jordan Larkin, a quiet, dependable teen. Newbern makes this thrill-a-minute ride worth taking. That review by yours truly, Sandy Henschel, is of One Perfect Lie. It's written by Lisa Scottolini, read by George Newbern, and it's available from Macmillan Audio for 8.5 hours of unabridged listening. That's our show for today, but I hope you'll plan to tune in next time when we'll have more reviews in Mystery and Suspense, including an interview with Amy McFadden and a review of her earphones-winning performance in the chilling mystery You'll Never Know, Dear. We'll follow that with reviews in literary fiction, including a review of Earphones winner Eleanor Oliphant Is Completely Fine by Gail Hunneman, read by Kathleen McCarran. So until next time, thanks for listening. This has been Audiophile Magazine from WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Audiophile is also available online at www.audiophilemagazine.com. The audio producer for this show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Sandy Henschel. For more information on any of the books you've heard about today, contact your local library, Library for the Blind, or your favorite local bookstore. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.